Sign up to The Economist for in-depth curated expert analysis of world events and topics ranging from business and culture to science and technology. You'll get the weekly digital edition, online-only articles, curated newsletters on politics, the markets, science, culture, and China, and full access to The Economist Podcast Plus. The Economist is independent journalism for independent thinking. Go to economist.com and get your first month free.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jesse Waters, along with Judge Jeanine Pirro, Piers Morgan, Sandra Smith, and Greg Gutfeld. It's 5 o'clock in New York City, and this is The Five.
I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning. This is all coming from the Biden White House because the guy can't put two sentences together. He can't campaign. They're using this in order to try and win an election.
If you can't beat him, lawfare him. Democrats scheme to knock Trump off his game, saddle him with bogus legal trials while his chief opponent gets a huge head start. Is on full display today. On the left-hand side, Scranton Joe Biden hitting the campaign trail in Pennsylvania. On the right, Donald Trump spent his day fighting to avoid being locked up after returning to a courtroom in Manhattan for day two of the messy paperwork showdown of the century. Biden rubbing it in Trump's face and peppering him with hoax after hoax.
He learned that paying taxes was something people who work for a living did, not him. You learn that telling people you're fired was something to laugh about. Listen to what he says. He says, quote, I'll be dictator on day one. Quote, I am your retribution. He promises, quote, a bloodbath if he loses. I wake every morning thinking about how to make life better like you do for working and middle-class families here in Scranton and all across the country.
Today, six jurors were officially selected to serve on Trump's criminal trial. 12 more to go. Others got dismissed after copping to being impartial. Trump did, however, smile at a guy who said he had read a few of his books. At one point, the judge scolding the former president for audibly muttering while a juror was speaking, warning him that he won't tolerate that. Radical DA Alvin Bragg is hungry to lock up Trump, filing a motion to hold the ex-president in contempt and fine him $3,000. For alleged breaches of a gag order against disparaging trial witnesses. The liberal media getting their kicks about a report that Donald Trump fell asleep during the proceedings. Watch.
He made a pretty specific stare at me and walked out of the room. I reported earlier that he had appeared to fall asleep. I've seen lots of people fall asleep in courtrooms. I've seen jurors fall asleep. I've seen judges fall asleep.
The wheels of justice grind slowly. I did not think they would grind so slowly that they would rock the defendant apparently to sleep.
Imagine committing so many crimes, you get bored at your own trial.
Word of the day, contumacious. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Way to go, David. I mean, that's better than fake news. I worked on that.
Enemy of the sleeple.
I doubt anybody at home is nodding off after the conversations.
Joy Reid somehow topping all of that.
There is something wonderfully poetic about the fact that despite the fact that even if convicted, he's not going to go to prison, the first person to actually criminally prosecute Donald Trump is a black Harvard grad, and a black woman is doing that same exact thing in Georgia, and a black woman forced you to pay $175 million fine. Go DEI. My DEIs are bringing it home.
Go DEI, Greg.
She said it's wonderfully poetic, but that there was no rhyming there. She should have said it's really all right because the victim is white. She could have said because I'm black, I can pull off a racist attack, or I can be a bigoted grump because I got hair like Trump. That would have been nice. Imagine if a white person said this. You know, this is so poetic how these white folks are giving it to the black man. And it does reflect, I'm joking, but it reflects a seething hatred that she does have for whites, of which MSNBC amplifies and somehow protects. It's a carbon copy of the OJ trial. It's that, a black man killed two whites, so it's excusable. But reverse racism is still racism. It's right there, and MSNBC should know that. Trump appearing to sleep and be bored is exactly the response this Kafkaesque persecution deserves. He is America, who, unlike this frothing, infantile media, doesn't see this as some mutant form of entertainment injustice. Trump should go to trial, bring a big book, big fat John Grisham novel.
Oh,
Just sit there and read. That's the only response this manufactured mayhem deserves. It's just contempt. Maybe you should just bring a bag lunch, a newspaper, a kickback, and just you know, because it's a waste of they're wasting his time. They want him to break down like, you know, an anti-Israel activist weeping. It's not going to happen.
I'm going to send him a copy of Get It Together so we can open it up inside the courtroom. Sandra, you covered this today. You saw some of these jurors. They cannot be impartial. And some of them looked a little stealthy to me, like they were trying to get on the jury.
Yeah. Well, the president takes to the microphone to air his frustration that he's sitting there while Joe Biden's campaigning there, Scranton, New Jersey. What was really interesting, I said this to you guys right before the show went live. We were covering Biden's speech there in Scranton, his hometown, working class, 75,000 people. It was somewhat angry. He was very forceful about how he can do better for them. That's a tough case to make to people when they're paying roughly $888 more a month because of the Bidenflation. By the way, he never mentioned Bidenomics. He was not touting Bidenomics by name under this presidency. Their gas prices are up $1 in Pennsylvania since this president took office. You've got the median home plate price in Pennsylvania up 30%. There's an affordability crisis in Pennsylvania, and he's trying to tell those working class voters that his policies are working. So while the former president can't be on the ground campaigning there in Pennsylvania, his record surely is speaking for itself. But an interesting split screen, though, that Biden is out there and he has to sit there.
Piers, did you ever fall asleep during The Apprentice?
Absolutely not. That's why I won, Jesse. thank you for reminding the American people.
You're welcome.
Yeah, look, I just think actually this is playing brilliantly for Trump. He just has to sit in that courtroom all day, every day. He needs to let Biden go off and lose his mind in making speeches that are incoherent and don't make much sense. And as you said, you know, remind people, actually, this is the guy who's been in charge and affected my life adversely. But there's also at the heart of this, there is a real hypocrisy, particularly about this case. And I wrote about this for the New York Post today. And in my research for the column, I just discovered what I think is probably the best example of that hypocrisy, which is yesterday we touched on the fact that Trump may not be allowed to go to his son Barron's graduation ceremony, which I think most parents would have heard that and gone, wow, really? Yeah. Now, it's not been decided, but he sort of laid out the path that he may not let him go. Well, you know who did go to his child's graduation ceremony? It was Bill Clinton. He went to Chelsea's in the 90s when he was president. And he took to the stage and he made a speech talking of his great pride. Now, that was the same Bill Clinton who, last time I checked, had sex with an intern in the Oval Office and paid Paula Jones $850,000 to get rid of an allegation of harassment and abuse while he was a sitting president of the United States. I didn't see him in a courtroom for 6 weeks in an election year. So my message to my liberal friends is this. Why do you think this is going to do any good for you? Why do you not think people will see through this absolute double standard? John Legend was on MSNBC talking about Trump being the epitome of a two-tier justice system. He is. One rule for Trump, another rule for any Democrat presidents who've been in, I would argue, far worse situations when it comes to sexual peccadilloes. So I think that this is actually, in the end, going to play well for Trump. I think this is a reality show playing out every day, all day, of him sitting in that courtroom, reminding people of a double standard.
Did you do you remember what Bill Clinton said when he spoke to the students? Call me when you're 18.
Judge Jeanine, congrats on being the first five hosts to say peccadillos.
Thank you very much.
Judge Jeanine,
it's part of my ongoing instruction in the English language. Jeffrey, you know.
How did you interpret day two of this trial?
Well, I was stunned that they have as many jurors as they have. But, you know, I go back to the legalities of it. Number one, I say to myself, you've got 87% of the people in Manhattan who voted against Donald Trump. You've got a man with 100% name recognition. I mean, there's no question about it. We've got a fundamental principle that you're going to be tried by a jury of your peers. But when you can actually prove that the jury is anti-Trump, as in 87% to 90% anti-Trump. And remember, jurors are taken from the voter rolls. They are taken from motor vehicles and a few other places, but primarily the voter rolls. I know this. I used to impanel jurors all the time. And yet what they're saying is, even though 87% of Manhattan is against him, even though this trial is also about politics, and the man who's being tried is a politician, we're going to deny your change of venue and make you have this trial here. It would have been very easy for this trial to be moved to Westchester or Rockland, which are both swing counties, and they would have had a more fair jury, a more split jury. And this is a case that not only calls for it, it demands it. And so I believe that no matter what they do here, this is a hate Donald Trump jury. The second point. The gag order in this country has always been at a crossroads with the First Amendment. I've been gagged as a DA. As a judge, I have gagged DAs and defense attorneys. But when you gag both sides. And when you've got Michael Cohen just a few days ago trashing Donald Trump on April 12th, and Donald Trump is gagged and cannot respond to that. And Cohen is talking about the Georgia case. He's talking about the Florida documents case. He's talking about this case. And this judge is good with that. And the optics of at the top of this thing, Joe Biden trashing Donald Trump and Trump being gagged because he's locked down in a criminal courtroom in a jury that hates him in a fake misdemeanor that's bootstrapped by a felony that no one knows anything about. This is not America. This is a kangaroo court with a kangaroo judge whose daughter's making millions, and you can't gag me. And this president should not be gagged.
Any, have you ever
any
been
negative
gagged?
Thoughts about it?
Many times. I used to get gagged a lot downtown. But.
The liberal media thinks you're stupid and poor. Katie Couric letting it rip on MAGA voters.
Americans turn to RV.
Precise, personal, powerful is America's weather team in the palm of your hands. Get Fox weather updates throughout your busy day, every day. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Barack had bitter clingers and Hillary had her basket of deplorables. And now Katie Couric become the latest elite blowhard to psychoanalyze Trump supporters. America's sweetheart, now an old fart, thinks she's cracked the code of MAGA by calling them a bunch of rubes.
Socioeconomic disparities are a lot, and class resentment is a lot. And anti-intellectualism and elitism is what is driving many of these anti-establishment, which are Trump voters. I don't know if you've ever been jealous of what someone else has or resentful. It is such a corroding and bitter, almost bile feeling.
Wow. Even after the colonoscopy, she's still full of crap. Anyway, she's a prime example of the rot in the liberal media. Remember the NPR veteran who blew the whistle on that outlet's anti-Trump bias? Well, instead of changing how they cover the Don, NPR just suspended the guy for speaking the truth. All right. This is kind of fun. What happened, Judge, to Katie Couric? You know what? People should get behind Trump because he upsets the right people. Look at her. She's like shrinking.
Well, she's shrinking in a lot of ways. I think she's shrinking mentally, too. Yeah. I mean, you know what it's like when you're jealous of people and the bile. I mean, what the hell is she talking about? But, you know, for years, you know, they were the people who didn't like people. You know, they loved everybody. They had the big umbrella. And now they hate everybody who supports Donald Trump. And, you know, if there's anything that's anti-intellectual, and she talks about anti-intellectuals, it's someone like her who takes a broad brush approach and simply says, that, you know, we're a bunch of jealous people and that, you know, we don't have a brain. But I don't, you know, I've never been a real fan of hers, and I don't have a lot to say other than she just can't deal with it. And she's typical of the Democrats, who absolutely hate anybody who doesn't think like they do.
Mm-hmm. You know, Pierce, I bet she has a number of peccadilloes.
Yeah. Well, we've had a few discussions about the word peccadillo, so let's just, for the record, for those who don't know what it means, because mm-hmm. I don't want to dazzle you with my knowledge of the English language, obviously, it is a small, relatively unimportant offence or sin.
Mm.
And the point I was making is that one night, allegedly with a porn star in Beverly Hills, comparative to defiling an intern in the Oval Office or paying somebody $850,000 to get rid of an abuse harassment case, I would think the American people, if they're being honest with themselves, would view the Clinton offences as a slightly higher level of peccadillo than the offence that Trump is currently languishing in a courtroom for. As for Katie Couric, interesting, isn't it? Because Trump got 10 million more votes in 2020 than 2016.
Mm-hmm.
So people looked at his presidency, which, according to the left, was the worst of all time, and 10 million more Americans voted for him the second time around. And as for Katie Couric's claim that all the people that support Trump are jealous, bitter, and resentful, this is somebody who wrote a book a few years ago called Going There, mm-hmm. in which she went there. She launched a series of jealous, bitter, and resentful attacks
right.
on other female TV hosts, sure. from Ashley Banfield to Deborah Norville to Diane Sawyer to Martha Stewart. There was nobody spared the bitter, jealous, and resentful wrath of Katie Couric in that book. So for her to start lambasting 80 million Americans who have the gall in her eyes to vote for the non-intellectual Trump, when she herself has been so hypocritical about spewing the bile herself, I suggest she puts a sock in it.
It is so. See, Jesse, that's what happens when people do research before the show. You know, she's saying MAGA is dumb. And I guess coming from the Today Show, which is the bastion of intellectualism, right? I mean, Matt Lauer was a regular Ludwig von Mises.
Don't know who that is.
Austrian economist.
So before we get started, I just do have to make a clarification about something that was said during the last block. Kennedy mentioned peccadilloes a year ago, so I was wrong about that. It's been mentioned twice by Kennedy and now Pierce, so again, I'm deeply, deeply sorry for that.
You believe the American version of this is shenanigans?
Shenanigans, right? I did. Eleanor Roosevelt famously said, great minds talk about ideas. Average minds talk about events. Small minds talk about people.
Mm.
Katie Couric seems to me like she talks a lot about people. Mm. And she talks a lot about one person in particular, Donald Trump. A lot of the great idea guys around, Greg Gutfeld.
Thank you.
Jordan Peterson.
He's okay.
Joe Rogan.
Nice guy.
X.
Cute guy.
Piers Morgan.
Thank you.
Those are the kind of spaces where people are talking about ideas, where people who are curious come in and they're humble and they listen. And that's what people are attracted to right now. I see those shows and all you see is love and affection. When I walk around D.C. or New York City, I see a lot of bitterness. I don't see a lot of very smart people who have it together. I see a lot of people living in boxes, in dead end jobs, and they're jealous of people that can live outside most of the day and have fresh food and sunlight. And I think she's confusing anti-intellectual with anti-establishment.
Yeah.
We see the people in the establishment as trying to appear to be intellectuals, but what they're really doing is, in doing so, making stupid decisions or saying stupid things, like the Supreme Court nominee who couldn't define a woman, or the Harvard president who said, oh, if you chant kill the Jews, it's not harassment? Or the CEOs that trade factories for fentanyl, or the politicians who shut down schools for 2 years? We see that as really dumb. We see that as anti-science, as anti-human. And so we just don't like being lectured to by people who maybe went to the right schools, but do and say all the wrong things.
Well put, Jesse.
Thank you.
You are a man of the people.
I am.
You know, double S, I want to talk to you about NPR. They suspended this editor who blew the whistle. I thought the left loved whistleblowers. And also, can't they have their government funding pulled because they're not an objective source for journalism?
Sure. I think you can.
You don't seem certain on that.
No, I'm just thinking about the framing of your question with Katie Couric, which, by the way, I think I was saying this at the break. You know, what happened to her? Like, she just seems so bitter and angry. And some of us grew up watching her on the Today Show and they embraced her and she's changed. I think so many people are not shocked to see an elitist member of the media out there calling out what they see as the lunatic fringe right, right? But where's the dichotomy of the far left lunatics out there that are chanting death to America in Dearborn, Michigan? And there's no conversation in that interview being had. So not shocking to hear both sides calling each other out. But when you look at the lunatic fringe right, what are they taking issue with? Waving big American flags off their pickup trucks? And on the lunatic fringe left, they're chanting death to America? I mean, remember that when you hear her calling out the far right for being jealous, bitter, resentful people. And that interview was really interesting. I think it stopped a lot of people in their tracks. It's like 2020 all over again.
Mm-hmm. And credit to Bill Maher, who did actually take her up on it. And he said, look, you can criticize Trump as much as you like, but you don't criticize all his voters.
No.
En masse. Like there's some appalling
She doesn't know
entity.
One. She's probably never met one. That's the thing, you know? All right, coming up, Gavin Newsom just said that Biden needs brain enhancers.
Time of year again.
Nobody tell Joe Biden, but Gavin Newsom is still running his shadow campaign for president, despite claiming the contrary.
Under any circumstances, would you get in this primary?
No. Who in their mind would want to run when you have someone of such esteem as our incumbent president of the United States?
Is that a yes or a no?
That was a never-ending response to your question.
I think we need to move past this notion that he's not going to run. President Biden is going to run, and looking forward to getting him reelected.
The greasy one is stealing Biden's spotlight and getting a big, glossy profile in The Atlantic titled, Gavin Newsom Can't Help Himself. California smooth talker cracking Joe's about how Biden should be popping brain pills like Prevagen to soothe voters' nerves about his age. The reporter calling him out on that one, and Gavin responded by saying, quote, I don't know if I was joking, but I was lamenting about how many different ways on different networks I've answered this question in an effort to try to answer a little differently each time. My gosh, is he like trying to be Kamala Harris?
I was wondering where he was during the entire bridge debacle yesterday. So he wasn't quick to stand up for that. I don't know. I watched Biden on the stage today. That's going to lead to more questions when he was exiting once again, didn't know where he was going. There's a reason people are asking about that. But Newsom's I think he is probably getting antsy. I don't know. Mm. Is it getting in?
Yeah. All right. And what about the Prevagen? He basically is saying Joe needs Prevagen.
I have some information on Prevagen.
You do?
Yes, I do.
Go right ahead, Pierce.
It's part of my extensive research for this program, which I always come back, Jesse.
Research.
So Prevagen is quite interesting because it has all the normal side effects, you know, headache, nausea and stuff. But it can also, in certain people, it can have the exact opposite effect, apparently, what it's supposed
really?
To do. Yeah. So my theory is that Biden may have actually been on Prevagen, and that Gavin Newsom knows this, because if you have the reverse syndrome, which only a small number of people get, apparently you can have cognitive impairment, memory lapses, and confusion. One user on Amazon said, I had concentration blackouts where all of a sudden, it's like I just woke up and was totally lost and I had no idea where I was. So my theory is that he's let slip to Newsom, hence the mentioning of Prevagen, that he's been on it, but he's having the reverse effect, which only afflicts small number of people.
All right, I'll go back to you, Jesse.
Well, I mean, I did my research too, Piers, and it turns out...
See, I'm making you raise your game.
Yeah. I mean, Jesse. It turns out, according to my sources, you're on Prevagen. And you're experiencing the same side effects as the president. So there. I think that he was telling the truth, and Biden probably needs pills, and he shouldn't have said it to a reporter. But if you're asked a question a zillion times, something like that's going to come out. And I hate to say this, and I probably shouldn't say it, but there's something stupidly likable about Gavin Newsom when he answers the question, well, yes or no, and he goes, I mean, that's just, there's something real, whether it's really stupid or really human. Gavin Newsom makes me laugh as a guy that comes across as just not really pulling off the sincerity, like winking at it.
I agree.
Jesse, he comes across as a lying politician who can't give a straight answer.
But he knows he's a lying politician, and that's what's funny about him.
Yeah, I don't like lying politicians. Okay. Go ahead, Greg.
I understand, Jesse, because you also said you really identified with Patrick Bateman from American Psycho.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's kind of cruel to suggest brain pills for Joe Biden because that assumes he has a brain to work with. You can water a dead plant all you want. It's still going to be dead. To me, Gassam Newsom. Gassam Newsom is like a sniveling ne'er-do-well from every Columbo episode. You know, he's impatiently waiting for the odd old rich uncle to die. And then he finally decides, you know, maybe it's time I push it along, you know. So here's some advice to you, Joe. Do not accept any invitations to go hiking with Gavin Newsom. We're at a time, though, where we need more than Prevagen. We're on the verge of World War III. We got a president who, you know, thinks Iran is something he only does when he has to go to the bathroom. In the old days, we had speak softly and carry a big stick. Now it's whisper feebly and carry life alert. Yeah. Even the visiting angels aren't taking his calls.
Visiting angels. Coming up, Molly Ringwald wants Pretty in Pink to be pretty and woke.
My dad believed.
A brain, a beauty, a jock, a rebel, and a recluse.
I can't believe this is really happening to me.
Before this day is over, they'll break the rules.
Well, Molly Ringwald is criticizing the 80s John Hughes films that made her famous. The actress is pondering potential remakes of classics like The Breakfast Club and Pretty in Pink. But instead of stressing over whether they'll be good, it's all about race. Watch this.
Those movies, the movies that, you know, I'm so well known for, they were very much of a time, you know? And if you were to remake that now, I think it would have to be much more diverse. And it would have to be, you know, you couldn't make a movie that white now. Now, those movies are really... really very white and they don't really represent, you know, what it is to be a teenager in a school in America today. I don't think.
Okay. Greg, the movies were too white
and
she's ashamed of this.
Why
do we keep having this need to revisit everything which brought us pleasure at the time in the moment and suddenly re-edit them?
It is a difference, I think, in philosophies. We have a large intelligentsia, the left. They live in the past because that's where they pull out all these examples of persecution. If they want to go that route, let's remake Shaft with Harry Styles. Let's do Ali, but have Jake Gyllenhaal. He's ripped. I would like to see The Color Purple with Megan Fox. I think that would be amazing for me. I'm tired of remakes. Stop with the remakes, except for Roadhouse, which was absolutely amazing. But I'm all for diversity in movies and TV shows if the content is well written, well acted, well directed. It's only when it's shoehorned and the presence of the actor becomes the message in itself and it's distracting. Like this show, The Diplomat, right? Really good TV series, except in every other scene, they inserted a non-binary character in a bow tie, and the person just was standing around, and you're going, oh, that ticked three boxes. It ticked three boxes, so they could make the show without being fined.
Sandra, we've seen with, like, Disney trying to redo, you know, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs without dwarves and so on.
I lost the job.
The actual remakes of these movies have been a catastrophe in most cases because they get woke to hell. But this, again, I come back to looking back at history and trying to take today's thoughts, morals, ethics, whatever you want to call it, and implant them back. I just think it's such a waste of energy. Why can't we just let them stand the test of time and do stuff now?
I might be a skeptic that she's that deep. It might be more about now and her and making herself relevant in what is a very woke Hollywood, younger generation, make herself feel better, attract herself to younger audiences. Don't touch 16 candles, okay?
You'll burn yourself.
It just worked. It just worked. And it's one of those movies that even when you play it today, and so many of the themes of that movie are still relevant. Mm. But the remakes, they flop. People don't want them. And if Hollywood is going to go this route and remake it because she spoke out during the Me Too movement, right? The Me Too movement, she went after Breakfast Club. She said her character was sexually harassed in that film. What about every murder that takes place? Are we going to go back? It just doesn't seem well thought out. And it does seem a lot more about Molly Ringwald than making things right.
And she even picked on movies that had nothing to do with her. Pretty Woman, which is, I think, one of the all-time great classic films. She said, Julia Roberts was wonderful in it, but I didn't like the story. She said, even then, she said, I felt like there was something icky about it.
You know what? I think the majority of young women would love to have been Julia Roberts in that movie.
Yes.
I mean, you know, she just is not connected. And, you know, if she's so upset by what she did in the past, well, maybe she ought to, like, return the money and not take any royalties, put the royalties that she's still getting into something that, you know, that is a little more relevant to what she thinks is what's going on today. I don't think she's that deep either. I don't think she's that significant. I don't think she's that important. I think she's just speaking the words without really understanding what she's saying, because if she's in, she should be all in. And, you know, she's not the most serious person out there.
And Jesse, I think we're going to make great. Well, go on.
I was just going to say, Pretty Woman, it was one of the weirdest films. There's never a hooker that good looking. Julia Roberts is a hooker? Yeah. Unbelievable.
But it's like when John Legend tried to rewrite the lyrics to Baby, It's Cold Outside, because he said it encouraged sexual abuse and violence. It's like, what are you talking about, you stupid man? And by the way, if you want to start rewriting stuff and changing videos, go and do some of your rap mates, right? I mean, I just thought it was so ridiculous.
And also be pro-global warming if you hate that song.
Yes! Jesse, this also reminded me when Megan Rapinoe, just after she retired from the women's national soccer team, said that she felt that trans athletes should now be encouraged to play in the women's national soccer team. They wouldn't have taken her place, I noticed, because she just retired. Mm-hmm. Is this a case of that where Molly Ringwald was like, yeah, I wish they hadn't been so white, but hey, I've made all my money already.
It is. And I've come up with a few titles which are more woke now from these 80s. Pretty in Pink, Hair. 16 Genders.
Oh,
be good.
Ferris Bueller's Day of Activism. The Breakfast CRT. And finally, No Planes, Trains, or Automobiles. Planets Die.
Well done.
Thank That's you. Very good.
Thank you.
Great research.
Well, the producers gave it to me.
Okay, up next. Chaos in Georgia's parliament is making American Congress look like a yoga retreat. That's next.
Hi.
I mean, if you thought our Congress can get unruly, just wait until you see what mayhem goes down in Georgia's parliament. Whoa. WWE-style chaos in the country that borders Russia, lawmakers brawling while debating a controversial law, and foreign agents. Opponents argued that the law would complicate Georgia's aim of joining the European Union. This seems right up your alley, Pierce.
I love this. And I would like to do a shout-out for the MP, Aleko Eli Sashvili, who is the man who threw the offending punch. He turns out to be a bit of a hero, actually. I mean, I wouldn't normally encourage violence, obviously, amongst parliamentarians, but he said afterwards on the street, he was wrestled to the ground and beaten up, and he said, I got beaten, but if it's for Georgia, then so be it. We must shove this law up their asses, he said, clenching his fist to a cheering crowd. This is no time for politeness. Ooh. They are dragging us into Russia directly. We are either Georgians or slaves, and we are not slaves. And I admire him because actually what this law they're trying to pass is all about is making it more like Russia. It's intended to make it more like Russia. And it's similar to the legislation the Kremlin used to crack down on dissent in Russia. And so this guy, although he may have used uncouth methodology.
Is he going to jail?
I don't know what's happening to him, but I just admire the spirit of someone saying, I'm not going to... let me tell you, a lot worse is going to happen to people if this law gets passed.
Okay.
Right, as we see what happens to dissidents in Russia.
You know...
Go ahead,
Judge. You know what I'd like to see? If we were to have any kind of, you know, standoff, I'd like to see Mitch McConnell and Joe Biden. Or I'd like to see Adam Schiff and Jim Jordan.
Oh, I got Jordan.
Okay, Gates and McCarthy. And then Marjorie Taylor Greene and AOC.
That would be a good one.
Jesse?
Well, I'm with Piers. I admire the spirit, and I just wish sometimes our members of Congress would have that type of passion instead of just day trading all day and then leaving for their district on Thursday.
I mean, as our notes note, this makes our Congress look like a spa day.
Georgia's weird, man. But that's the South for you. That's all I got.
Oh. I was good. I'm sorry about Thunder.
What band is that? Imagine Dragons, Sandra? Imagine Dragons is 2014. And we went through the Imagine Dragons phase. It wasn't pleasant.
So can I give you the story behind it? I run a lot, and it's got a great running beat.
Well, I would not stop running if I heard that song. Running away.
Okay. One more thing is up next.
My blood pressure is borderline.
Time now for one more thing, Judge.
Okay, have you ever had to entertain kids on a trip? Check out this guy's strategy for his dog, using the windshield wiper and fluid to keep the pup amused. It wasn't even raining. It was purely for the pup's entertainment. And then when he stops it, the dog stops. And then he has it and goes back and forth. And the people behind him are always taking pictures. Okay, it's the best I could do. It's only Tuesday.
Correct. All right, tonight we got another great show, and then I'm going to go away for a little while. Yes. Emily Campagno, Joe DeVito, Cat Timp, Tyrus. And now we're going to play this. Greg gets the animal sounds. All right, so I'm going to play these animal sounds, and then we're going to go around the horn, because I know that Piers has never played this before.
Oh,
and you have to guess what it is. Okay, let's play the sounds.
Okay.
Hippo.
Pierre says hippo, Judge.
It's a motorcycle.
Well, it has to be an animal.
A hog.
You say a hog?
No, yeah. Chewbacca.
That's not an animal. It's not even real.
You say so.
Honestly, is it a dog? My dog sounds like that.
All right. Yeah,
what kind of dog do you have?
Chewbacca.
Hippo.
Hippo.
I don't know.
What? Yeah.
Okay. All right. How about a tiger?
Let's play.
No way. You won?
I won?
No, you're close.
Same family.
Well, I got the closest.
Yeah, you did.
I did.
You
win. Stop laughing at me.
$5,000.
When do I get it? Yay!
Congratulations.
Yes. All done.
Sandra.
I'm super excited for mine. Love Mom. This is Dr. Nicole Sapphire's new book. It is just out today. Inspiring stories celebrating motherhood. I was really honored to have a chapter in this book. And we talked a lot. And we did a Fox Nation special. It was very therapeutic. We all sat together, Martha McCallum, Janice Dean, Carly, and we talked about the lessons we learned from our mothers that we're now passing down, raising our own children. It's really a great book. Go out and get it today. FoxNewsBooks.com.
Wonderful. Speaking of, the Get It Together series continues on Jesse Waters Primetime with a drug trafficker turned comedian. Here's a little taste.
So you can't do drugs anymore. Fentanyl has ruined it. It's ruined cocaine fun. I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
That's just the way it is. Cheers.
What's a good one for you, Jesse? It's the Invisibility Mega Shield based on Harry Potter. It's a precision-engineered lens that bends the light away from the person standing behind it. The shield took 2 years to develop from high-grade polycarbonate, 6 foot tall and 4 foot wide, big enough to hide multiple people behind it. Cost $750. So basically, if you hid behind that, Jesse,
we're going to be ordering it and putting it right here tomorrow.
Yeah, but why would you buy that?
People will love tomorrow's show with the invisibility shield right there. That's it for us.
Put the power of over 100 meteorologists and the worldwide resources of Fox in your hands with the Fox Weather Podcast. Precise, personal, powerful. Subscribe and listen now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to The 5 ad-free on Amazon Music with your Prime membership or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.